This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, a busy day here in Washington. For the first time in his presidency, by a wide margin, Congress overrode a veto by President Obama on a bill that would allow families of 9/11 victims to sue Saudi Arabia for its alleged role in the terrorist attacks. You won't believe what the White House had to say. Or maybe you will. We'll talk with Congressman Jody Heiss about the veto override and about legislation he introduced along with House Majority Whip Steve Scalise today to repeal the free speech restraints on churches and other nonprofits. We'll also talk about the continuing resolution that the House is poised to pass that the Senate adopted earlier today. And our good friend Bishop Harry Jackson, who joined us at the press conference on Capitol Hill today announcing the Free Speech Fairness Act, will join me to talk about the upcoming Pulpit Freedom Sunday initiative that is happening this Sunday. To find out more, go to the website tonyperkins.com. Lots of information there for you today. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right. Today, we open the show by talking about two things that government bureaucrats tell us we aren't supposed to mix, church and politics. Well, this Sunday, October the 2nd, pastors across America will speak boldly from their pulpits on the issues of our day, including, yes, including the race for president and other pressing political issues, which they say are political issues. Most of these are moral and spiritual issues. Now, if there was ever an election that our faith leaders needed to speak out on, it's this one. And this afternoon, you, the listeners, will get to hear from one pastor who turned congressman who is fighting for the freedom of America's pulpits. Joining me now is Congressman Jody Heiss from Georgia's 10th Congressional District. Jody, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much, Tony. Always an honor to be with you.
Well, when you were a pastor, you were an early adopter of the Pulpit Freedom Sunday initiative over 8 years ago. You were one of the first to participate in that. And now, as a member of Congress, you've been working to make sure that pulpits are free to speak as God would lead them.
Yeah, you know, it's really shameful. And as you said, I've been in this battle for a long, long time. And part of the original 33 pastors who challenged the IRS code. But, you know, we are living in a time where our government literally is trying to be the gatekeeper of what can and cannot be said from pulpits across America. And, you know, they're just the use of intimidation and the threat of potentially losing tax-exempt status has become a powerful tool whereby a lot of pastors, frankly, have just self-censored themselves right out of involvement in speaking biblical truth. So we are trying to correct that and deal with the so-called Johnson Amendment, and bring liberty back to the pulpits of America.
And just for the benefit of our listeners that may not be familiar, although we've talked about this a lot of times, 1954, then-Senator Lyndon B. Johnson, who was the majority leader in the Senate, slipped into a tax provision, and this was without debate, it was not in a committee, just kind of slipped it in the bill, that prohibited nonprofits, including churches, from any type of engagement in political activities, including speech. And since that point, obviously, it's evolved to where now this is used as a threat over the heads of churches and pastors not to speak to political issues. And, of course, issues such as life and marriage and even religious liberty have been turned into political issues, and some pastors are afraid to speak to that. And so today, Congressman, you teamed up with the Majority Whip, Steve Scalise, longtime friend of mine, and introduced the Free Speech Fairness Act. This is a major step forward in your effort to free the pulpits from government bureaucrats.
It really is, and I'm extremely honored to partner with the Whip, Steve Scalise, on this. And the Free Speech Fairness Act basically says that churches and pastors are able to, in the course of their regular course of activities, address these issues without fear of government intervention or harassment or threats or punishment. But just in the course of what they typically do, if they address these issues, there's no problem with that. And, of course, it does not say that churches can become political action committees or anything along those lines, but that there can be no threat from our federal government for pastors, churches, nonprofits addressing these issues, even to the point of endorsing candidates, so long as it's just in the course of their regular activities that they do. So I think this is a great step forward, and again, just the idea, the possibility of liberating churches to speak biblical truth without fear of punishment is a huge step forward.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. Glad to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. Congressman Jody Heiss of the 10th Congressional District in Georgia, my guest. We're talking about a piece of legislation that was introduced today, the Free Speech Fairness Act. I joined Congressman Heiss and Scalise today for a press conference on Capitol Hill to talk about this. And this, there's a very clear line of distinction, and you made reference to it, is that nonprofits, including churches, cannot become political action committees. They cannot expend money to advance a candidate or be involved in campaigns. However, what this does is it restores their free speech rights to be able to speak to issues and to candidates, which is what the Johnson Amendment has been used to silence churches and nonprofits on.
That's right. And really what we have now because of the Johnson Amendment from 1954 is the IRS have actually become the bouncers, if you will, of free speech. They've become speech police, and they are making their way into the pulpits and churches and nonprofits across this country with great intimidation. And the Johnson Amendment has been used. You know, really, Tony, what is happening is they are leveraging the tax-exempt status and saying, this we will take away from you if you address certain issues or participate in certain speech that we, the government, deem improper for you to address. And so it is a great source of intimidation and threat by leveraging the tax-exempt status. So this bill is getting that off the table, granting free speech without allowing the churches to become political action committees.
And you made the point today earlier that just out of fear that a lot of churches and pastors just silence themselves. They've self-censored just because they're afraid, because they don't clearly understand what the law is and how it might be applied.
Well, that's exactly right, and I can speak personally to that issue, and I know you can as well, but being a pastor almost 30 years prior to coming to Congress, every election cycle I would receive intimidating, threatening letters from various groups basically saying that if I participate in political speech, a very broad term, but if I participated in any of that kind of speech, we could possibly be sued and face potential loss of our tax-exempt status as a church. And, I mean, I had a collection of these letters. Every cycle we would receive them, and pastors all across the country are still getting those kinds of threats. And as a result, you know, you get one of these letters, and they're strongly written, they are filled with intimidation, and yes, they do have a chilling effect, and many times pastors just take those letters as the law, and they self-censor themselves and actually don't address even biblical issues because it may be confused as being political, and we've got to correct that problem.
And you to speak to how these left-wing groups use this, just recently, over the last couple of years, the Freedom From Religion Foundation actually sued the IRS for not enforcing the Johnson Amendment. And so as a result, the IRS said they were adopting new policies. They put together a task force. And they have, although we don't have all the information because they've refused to release it, they apparently have flagged some 90-plus entities, churches, for potential violations of this, and our ally, Alliance Defending Freedom, has actually been in court trying to get this information to find out what the IRS is up to. This is not the type of environment that we should see pastors in America having to live under, this threat that at any moment the IRS, working in secrecy, could come and attack your church.
That's right. Here's an organization that has the power to destroy lives. It certainly has the power, likewise, to destroy churches and organizations, and we have seen them clearly target conservatives and conservative organizations for the last several years. And that movement has extended itself to churches and nonprofits across the country. And so, yes, they are as you mentioned, they've come up with a list of at least 90 or so churches that they believe have the potential, at least, of improper political involvement and activity. And yet it's so silent. Those churches, as I understand, have not even been notified that they're under investigation.
Right.
So, I mean, this whole thing is silent. It's behind closed doors. And it's time that that we do away altogether with the targeting by the IRS.
One more question on this, and I want to move quickly before we run out of time to the veto override that took place in Congress today, first of President Obama's presidency. But first, on the Johnson repeal measure, this has gotten some wind in the sails because of Donald Trump putting a focus on this nationally.
Yes, and Tony, you've been so involved in that personally, and I just want to say publicly thank you for your involvement in that as well. But I'm extremely proud of the fact and honored that, you know, there's been a lot of us like yourself and myself and many, many others that have been on the front line of this Johnson Amendment problem for a long, long time. And many pastors and church leaders have met with Donald Trump, and he has been informed of the problem, and now he has come out publicly. Probably most people listening to us have heard him address the Johnson Amendment, the fact that it needs to be repealed. And so there is a lot of wind behind the sail of this right now, which has to do with some of the timing of why we introduced the bill now, because he is talking about it. And it's, I don't know where this bill is going to go immediately, but we are in the process of having a huge gust of wind behind ourselves, and we're going to try to push this as fast and as hard as we can.
Well, that's good. Good to hear. Before we run out of time, Congressman Heiss, a major blow to the Obama administration today with an override of his veto of a measure that would allow families of 9/11 victims to sue Saudi Arabia for their alleged involvement in those terrorist attacks.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we had 3,000 lives lost in those terror attacks, and this bill finally, you know, it's good to be able to push back on the president, and this was an overwhelming vote to override the veto, which I'm thrilled both in the House and the Senate. But, yes, this will allow victims of terror attacks here in the United States to sue Saudi Arabia and hold them accountable for the terrorist activities that occur on our soil right here. And so we're excited that we've been able to override that veto.
Also, tonight you'll be voting on the continuing resolution. Does it look like we're going to see that government funding bill go through and we're going to bounce that into December?
You know, I don't know, Tony, how it's going to look. And, you know, personally, we're still looking to see exactly what's coming over to us from the Senate. You know, there's a lot of angst about potentially shutting down the government before a critical election like we're facing. And so, you know, everyone's kind of waiting on pins and needles to see what's in this thing and how it's going to shake down. But, yeah, we will probably be up into the wee hours tonight facing that issue.
All right. Congressman Jody Heiss, thanks so much for being with us today.
Great to be with you, Tony. God bless.
All right. Congressman Jody Heiss of the 10th Congressional District of Georgia. When we come back, we're going to be joined by my good friend Bishop Harry Jackson, who's going to be a participant in the Pulpit Freedom Sunday coming up this Sunday. He was there today at the press conference as well as we unveiled this piece of legislation, the Free Speech Fairness Act. Then we're going to, a little bit later, going to open up the phone lines and hear from you on this topic. But in the meantime, don't go away, because we're coming right back after these messages.
After 8 years of sustained attack on our most cherished values by the Obama administration, the 2016 presidential election will prove to be a critical juncture for our nation. FRC Action is here to help prepare you to vote with the Values Voter Presidential Voter Guide. Determining the right presidential candidate to lead our nation can be difficult amidst the media spin of political rhetoric. Our voter guide includes each candidate's answer to important questions affecting faith, family, and freedom. It compiles the candidate's stated positions on a range of issues, including Planned Parenthood funding, the repeal of Obamacare, the future of natural marriage, the protection of religious liberty, and more. Go to frcaction.org/2016 to view the Values Voter Guide. You can also watch videos of the candidates explain how they would protect our religious freedom as president. Again, that's frcaction.org/2016.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger, a group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org, healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
This is Michelle. I own a little beauty and barbershop in Wiggins, Mississippi.
American Family Radio is for America.
I use your radio station as my shop radio station in order to help preach the word of God to the general public.
This is Marcus from Farmington, Missouri. And I just wanted to state how AFA has really helped me dig deeper in the Word. My favorite program is War in the Word with Alex McFarland and Bert Harper. And it has set me on fire for just exploring the Word, for just digging deeper in God's Word. And it has given me actually a couple sermons. It's a wonderful program, and praise God for it, and just a blessing upon AFR. Thank you.
You can hear more stories of changed lives during our three-day Share-a-thon starting October 18th.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday afternoon. The website is tonyperkins.com. To keep up with me on a regular basis, you can do so on Twitter, at T. Perkins. All right, earlier today I mentioned we had a press conference on Capitol Hill with Majority Whip Steve Scalise. Been working with him on this piece of legislation, the Free Speech Fairness Act. And I was going to have Steve on this afternoon talking about it, but it is a busy, busy day on Capitol Hill with the veto override and then dealing with the CR. And so just so you know, the role of the Majority Whip is, when they say whip, is to go and see how many votes a piece of legislation is. So on a day like this, he's busy whipping, meaning, hey, how are you voting? This is the way the Republican leadership is going, and so on and so forth. So he's pretty busy. However, I got a clip I want to play before I introduce my next guest of him introducing this bill today a little earlier on Capitol Hill.
And so as we've been working with Tony Perkins and so many other religious leaders around the country who have been concerned about this, there have been some other things that we've identified. Back in 2012, there was a lawsuit that was brought forward to try to get the federal government to clamp down even tighter on religious organizations. And what that led to was, under President Obama, the IRS formed a committee to aggressively go after churches and other religious organizations using the Johnson Amendment of 1954 to limit their free speech. And since then, we've identified 99 cases already where churches have been flagged for violations of the law, where the federal government, through the IRS, is now going after churches.
I mentioned that a little bit earlier, but that was Congressman Steve Scalise earlier today as we introduced the Free Speech Fairness Act. Now, a civil rights leader and pastor, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., wrote in 1963, said this, quote, "The church must be reminded that it is not the master or the servant of the state, but rather the conscience of the state. It must be the guide and the critic of the state and never its tool," end quote. Well, as such, the church should not have to gain its authority or approval to speak from the government. But as we've just discussed, that's exactly what the Johnson Amendment has led to. Well, this Sunday, pastors across the nation will participate in the Pulpit Freedom Sunday, where they will deliberately speak to the issues of today and even the political candidates that are on the ballot. And I'm honored to serve as the national chairman of Pulpit Freedom Sunday. And if you'd like to know more about it, go to the website, tonyperkins.com, and follow the links over. But one of those pastors who will be participating in the Pulpit Freedom Sunday and was a part of the press conference, as I mentioned earlier today, on the Johnson Amendment is my good friend, Bishop Harry Jackson. Bishop, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thank you for having me. I was excited to stand with you earlier today.
Well, let me ask you this. Why do you see this as important? As a pastor, that pastors a very diverse congregation, and that sometimes can be dicey, but why do you see this as important that pastors be free to speak to the issues of our day?
Well, there are a lot of reasons we'll get to later. Let me give you my personal story. When then Lieutenant Governor was running for the governorship of Maryland, and we had an event on Martin Luther King Jr. Day where Michael Steele, that lieutenant governor, and a county council leader who was a Democrat, and two other political leaders, one Democrat, one Republican, all spoke about Christians being involved in the work of politics and changing our community. And it was a great thing. It was covered by C-SPAN. I got a letter from the IRS, and they were telling me that I was coming under investigation for having had a bipartisan event that simply lifted up what Martin Luther King Jr. had done. And the bottom line of it is, Alliance Defending Freedom worked with us. Had we not had them in tow, the work, the legal work, could have cost me $30,000 or $40,000. So, in real time, pastors can be intimidated. I certainly gulp deeply, even though I'm relatively bold on these matters. I had to question myself. Our leaders were wondering, have we gone too far? And so the government should not have the right to do that. If time will permit, Tony, we can go into a couple of other real-time cases where people were threatened, everybody from Branch Ministries, All Saints Episcopal Church, and the NAACP are examples that we could use. And I don't think it's constitutional. I don't think it's fair. I think it keeps us from being that conscious to the nation. So I've been bit by this dog myself, and I know that this is an overreaching of governmental authority.
So we're looking at this coming Sunday as the Pulpit Freedom Sunday. You've been a participant in that for a number of years, and this is where pastors clearly speak to the issues, even to the point, in some cases, of challenging the IRS Johnson Amendment by endorsing candidates. Now, you don't have to do that. Some will just speak this week to the contrast between the party platforms. But, you know, pastors should not be intimidated to talk about the issues and what the Scripture has to say about fundamental issues of life, of marriage, of human sexuality, or any of those issues. That is within the realm of the authority of the pulpit. So what would you say? What would you say to those pastors? By the way, we're up, Harry, we're up against a break, so I'm going to ask you to, I guess I teed it up, but we're up against a break. I want to ask you if you can hold on for just a couple of minutes, and we'll get back on the other side of the break, and I want to get your response to that. When you look at what is unfolding in our culture today, and all of these issues that are moral and spiritual at their heart, but politicians have claimed they're now political and the courts have done so, should pastors be emboldened to speak biblical truth to the issues of our day? We're going to talk about that when we come back as we continue this conversation with my good friend Bishop Harry Jackson about this coming Sunday, the Pulpit Freedom Sunday. You know, is your pastor participating in it? That's what we're going to talk about a little bit later on the program. I want to know, would you like your pastor, not every Sunday, I mean, not even every other Sunday, but occasionally, like at an election time, to speak clearly to the issues, to the candidates, and where they stand so that you might be better informed. We're going to talk about that here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
As I stated earlier in the week, we had some fairly important economic data coming out. Of course, later this week, we have GDP numbers coming out. This is going to be the final look at what second quarter GDP comes in. But we got durable good orders. And you might remember me saying that, you know, this is a very important number. It gives us some indication as to where the real economy has been going. And it is important that we take a look at that. Well, a couple of things have happened. The durable good order number came out. And first of all, last month's durable good numbers were revised downward. Now, you may or may not remember me saying that 4.4% durable good numbers was ridiculous, being that it would have made a 5.9% swing, give or take. And I said that is extremely unlikely, and I think something's wrong with the number. Well, they revised it downward to 3.6%. I still think that that is out of line, but nonetheless, it is what it is. Well, this month, this would be the month of August number that came out, durable goods, ex-amp transportation, came in negative 0.4%, which is pretty much what was expected. So for all practical purposes, we are looking at a flat durable good orders number, nothing really happening. It is exactly what was expected. I would say, though, on top of that, shipments, a separate kind of part of durable good orders number, was down a half of 1%. So any inventory numbers or any durable goods sitting on the sidelines that haven't yet shipped, doesn't look like they're going to ship or will ship, as that number is down, and that's an indication of what we can expect next
week. Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Tony Perkins, and you are listening to Washington Watch. If you happen to miss any of the earlier part of the program, go to TonyPerkins.com. A little bit later, you can catch the archive version. Also, lots of resources there for you. Let me encourage you, if you're not already receiving our daily update, you can do so by signing up at TonyPerkins.com. Comes into your email box Monday through Friday, free of charge. Information that you can use to make a difference right where you are. Again, that website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, we're talking with my good friend, Bishop Harry Jackson. By the way, Harry and I, a number of years ago, wrote a book together, Personal Faith, Public Policy, Exploring the Many Issues from a Biblical Perspective. And today we're talking about the ability of pastors to teach from that biblical perspective to the issues of our day. All right, Harry, I queued you up before the break to take on this issue of how all of these issues that are spiritual, moral at their core, but they've been turned into political issues. Should pastors boldly speak to those matters?
So I think we should boldly speak, because the people need to know. We have to disciple our folks to live in this world and respond. We have the unique privilege of being able to vote and to call the shots, if you will, in this culture. Secondly, the situation I alluded to earlier, spoke about earlier, in which I was actually investigated by the IRS, is a case in point of why we need to all collectively speak out. If we don't speak out now, speak out loudly, speak out together, then the IRS, the government, in other ways, can pick us off one by one. There's strength in numbers. So Christians really have a responsibility to speak out. Let me end by saying this. Charles D. Finney said the following: the time has come that Christians must vote for honest men and take consistent ground in politics. He ends this quote by saying that God will bless or curse this nation according to the course Christians take. So I believe pastors have a responsibility along with all of their other concerns and duties, to be a moral mouthpiece and a conscience, as you said earlier in the program, to the nation. So that's the reason. And if we don't speak now, our rights, by all measures, are going to be diminished. And if the culture can push us back within the walls of the church and say, you're free to worship in there, but don't live out loud for Jesus outside, we would have lost the generation. I'm not prepared to do that.
Absolutely. And that's not religious freedom. The religious freedom, as our founders recognized, those rights that come from God to live according to your conscience and your faith, allows you to live your life according to those teachings, not keep them quarantined within the four walls of a church. This Sunday, Pulpit Freedom Sunday, and by the way, pastors, if you're listening, there's still time for you to participate in that. You go to the website, tonyperkins.com, follow links over. What are you going to be speaking about to your congregation this Sunday?
I'm going to be talking about the choices that we have before us and comparing the platforms. I believe that this is really the crux of the matter. I think we're in a very challenging race right now, that you could pick people on presidential, senatorial, and down ticket on the basis of personality versus worldview and policy. And I believe we're at a place where we've got so much to lose, there needs to be this contrasting made. So I'm going to also have some special events a Wednesday when we also go through this in more detail. We don't beat the people up. We're hearing about this every single week. But I believe that there has to be at least enough relevant conversation, questions, interaction, so that, quote, the believer and the saints, if you will, can make intelligent choices. And they can live out loud by voting the way they believe.
Absolutely, without question. By the way, you know we have a resource available on the platform comparison, a short 3-minute video that shows the distinctions between the two-party platforms.
Well, that is a great, great resource for us. And I believe that that's the kind of thing that a pastor could play without even having to go into any deep detail. If I'm talking to a pastor now, who is saying, I want to get involved with Pulpit Freedom Sunday, this may be an easy way to ease into it. Play that video, make some exhortive conversations challenging folks to exercise their right to vote. You know, Tony, my dad was threatened at gunpoint when I was a year old by a state trooper of all things in the great state of Florida, and told that if he, that state trooper, caught my dad involved in voter registration work again, that next time he'd kill him. People have been threatened. People lost their lives for the right to vote. I believe it's a mere sacred right in that it determines the course of the most powerful nation in the world.
Without question.
Everyone should vote.
Without Amen. Question. Amen. Bishop Harry Jackson, thanks so much for joining us.
Tony, thanks for having me, and thanks for staying. You always stay.
All right, folks, don't go away.
One of the more emotional times on our tour of Israel is when we go to the house of Caiaphas. This is where Jesus Christ was held the night before his appearance before Pilate. And we see the dungeon where he was held. And it's just a very striking thing to be there knowing our Lord suffered in this way and was treated in this way. That's one of the places we'll visit is the house of Caiaphas, where the trial took place as well. Well, for more information on our tour of Israel and all the places we'll see and all the places we'll go, it's going to be a wonderful time with brothers and sisters from around the country. Our phone number is 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5 for more information. Or if you want to go on the internet, twholyland.com. Go to the website, twholyland.com. Come see the land of the Bible with us in March.
The Decision America Tour with Franklin Graham.
I'm traveling to all 50 states to hold prayer rallies. We're asking Christians to vote for candidates that stand for biblical principles and biblical moral values and engage in your community by living and sharing your faith.
The Decision America Tour with Franklin Graham.
And I'm going to be sharing the gospel.
You'll find rally dates and locations, plus information on how you can be involved at DecisionAmericaTour.com.
Now is the time to take a stand.
Consider serving the Lord with friendships. It's an opportunity to reach out to the needy around the world. They're now taking applications to volunteer, and they need help in the areas of mechanics, maritime, including deck, engine, and steward departments, food service, warehousing, and office. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
Would you make one of the most important phone calls that you can make as far as your economic, your financial stewardship? I believe that permanent income is incredibly important to us, especially when you're retired. Listen, one thing we know for certain, the consumption of goods and your cost are never going to change. Make sure that you protect your income. Social Security, you will likely have maybe a pension. Add to permanent income with a charitable gift annuity and do the Lord's work. There's no better organization to do it with than the AFA Foundation, and no better time in our economy than right now.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
You are listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad you are with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, a couple of things. We're going to go to the phones here in just a moment, but I want to go back at the beginning of the program. I mentioned the veto override, first of President Obama's administration. And in the Senate, it was 97-1. 97-1. The one lone holdout was Harry Reid. Okay. In the House, it was 348-77. This wasn't close, folks. Not by a long shot. And again, if you just joined us, this bill would allow families of 9/11 victims to sue Saudi Arabia for its alleged role in the terrorist attacks. Now, there was the report that was classified that there were like 28 pages, it's kind of known as the 28 pages, previously classified parts of a congressional investigation into the attacks that were released earlier this year that pointed to the Saudi government being connected to this, okay? So as a result, in order to allow families to go after the Saudi government for if they were complicit in this, to be able to sue them. Well, the president said he was going to be against it, and he did. He vetoed it. But Congress, again, by a wide, wide, wide margin, vetoed it. Now, here's the point I want to make, the White House's response. Now, White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest, I would play this for you, but there's no audio because they were on Air Force One. All right, if it pops up, I'll get it, but I don't have it right now. He decried the move by the Senate. This was earlier today. Calling it, quote, the single most embarrassing thing the United States Senate has done possibly since 1983. That was an apparent reference to the last time Congress issued a veto override by such a large margin. So he describes this as embarrassing to the country. He goes on talking about that the Senate has embarrassed the country. All I can say is that, you know what, he's got to be an authority on that because there has never been another administration that has been more proficient at embarrassing this country than the Obama administration. I mean, it's beyond words. 97-1. That is embarrassing to the country. No, it's probably embarrassing to the Obama administration because they're so out of step with the rest of America. They're more concerned about protecting Muslim nations than they are about protecting the rights of American people. I'm just watching the calendar until this administration is gone. All right, back to the Johnson Amendment. This is what I want to talk about. And Harry mentioned this, Bishop Jackson mentioned this. He said, you know, he doesn't preach about this stuff every Sunday, nor should pastors preach about politics. But this stuff is not politics. This is moral issues, moral choices. It's about equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. And so you have to be able to speak to these issues. And this is, in large part, folks, I'm going to put this question out there for the many pastors who might be listening who, quite frankly, are a little intimidated about stepping into the pulpit and speaking to issues like this. Now, I'm going to be preaching Sunday, and I invite you, if you're in the Baton Rouge area, come by Greenville Springs Baptist Church. I'm going to be speaking to these issues. And I know it can be intimidating when you start talking about this. You're afraid how people are going to respond. And so I want to know from you, our listeners, would you like, when these issues are prominent, like right now, we're in an election cycle. It's a critical election. The future of the country is at stake. Would you like to hear from your pastor, not who to vote for? I mean, he might want to tell you who he's voting for. That's fine. But more about where the candidates stand on the issue and what the Bible has to say about those issues. Would you like to hear that? Rather than hearing it from CNN or MSNBC or even Fox, but hearing it from a biblical perspective. As a Christian, as a member of a church, would you like to hear that from your pastor? 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234, the number to call to get in on the conversation this afternoon. As I told reporters today at the press conference regarding this bill when we introduced it, that government bureaucrats should not serve as bouncers at the door of free speech and religious freedom. You know, it's critical that churches be free. Now, and pastors don't have to. I mean, nobody's forcing them to, but they should be free if they want to, and if their congregation wants to hear it, which I hope they would, they should be free to do it without fear of being bullied or intimidated by their own government. All right, 866-372-7234. Let's go to South Dakota, where Vern is on the line. Vern, welcome to Washington Watch.
Good afternoon, Tony. Yes, I've been very active in trying to get our pastors to speak of it, and our head pastor got very upset with me, thinking that I'm wanting him to get involved in politics. But, yes, we don't hear that in our church, and I wish we would.
Well, Vern, thanks thanks for calling. I hope, maybe your pastor might be listening. We did some polling on this a few years ago, asking people, when it comes to the moral issues of our day, would you like to hear more from the pulpit? It was really quite amazing. And we asked the question, should pastors be free to speak to these issues? And overwhelmingly, even among liberals, they believe that the pulpit should be free to speak to these issues and speak to them. So I'm not sure where the disconnect is. And people in the pews want to hear them, not every Sunday, but when it's time to apply our faith to a particular season, election season, it's helpful if we can speak to these issues, whether it's life issue, human sexuality, religious freedom, any welfare. I mean, there's so many issues. The Bible speaks to all of them. And that's a part of having a biblical worldview and learning how to apply it in the world around us. Vern, thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Texas, where Stephen is on the line. Stephen, welcome to Washington Watch.
hey, Tony, appreciate all the stuff that you've done, your whole career, actually, but just this radio program is really good.
Well, thank you.
I was just calling to say that, you know, quoting the verse of Hosea, that people are destroyed for lack of understanding. The preacher's job is to be the shepherd, to guide the congregation. And if our preachers aren't talking to the people, a lot of them don't have time, or they don't even know what the issues are in America or what's going on. So if they're not getting it from the pulpit, where are they going to get it from?
Good word. You're absolutely right. And that's, I think that's part of the problem, where there is a disconnect among Christians in how they actually walk out their faith in the public arena. And maybe that's voting or their engagement politically, is because they're not being taught how to rightly apply the Word of God to this area of their lives. And that's Stephen's perfect point. Thanks so much for calling and sharing that insight. 866-372-7234. We're going to Georgia, where Landon is on the line. Landon, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Perkins. I'd just like, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go right ahead.
Okay, I'd just like to weigh in and just kind of piggyback on what your last caller said and just say that basically, if we're not hearing these issues talked about in our pulpits and in our churches, and we're having to wait for Fox and CNBC and ABC and the liberal media to tell us about these issues, then, you know, it's really not going to help us any, because what can you and can't you believe, you know?
Right. And, I mean, do you think MSNBC is going to tell you what the Word of God has to say about these issues? I mean, no.
Exactly. Exactly. With leadership like the Obama administration and the Clinton administration, you know, we certainly wouldn't hear those kind of issues talked about in the liberal media, because they're trying to take all of our Christian values and everything else that we have away from us, much less talk about transgenders or anything else, you know?
Yeah. Lana, great point. And in fact, it reminded me, I've shared this before on the program, but I have a very prominent political figure who's a good friend of mine. Well, I'm not going to mention his name, but most of you would recognize his name. He told me one time, he said, Tony, why is it that pastors and other Christian leaders want me to talk about issues on TV and other places that they're afraid to talk about in their churches and preach about from their pulpits? I said, wow. And you know, there's a lot of truth in that. We want politicians who are pro-life, do we not? We want politicians who are for traditional values, for marriage between a man and a woman. But how are we going to get those politicians if we don't have preachers who will preach the Word of God to those issues and to those individuals? You see, the politicians are not the moral leaders of our country. Now, they're leaders, absolutely, and they need to be moral, yes. But the pulpit is the prophetic voice, and I'm not talking about prophetic in terms of predicting the future. I'm talking about being a voice of clarity, of truth, of speaking, thus saith the Lord. This is what the Word of God says. That's what historically the pulpits of America have done. I mean, you can go back and look at election day sermons that pastors preached on special occasions or when an occurrence took place of a natural disaster or any number of things. And they preached about it from the standpoint of what the Word of God had to say so that people would understand the times and the circumstances in which they found themselves according to Scripture. And if we're going to equip the saints, as I mentioned earlier, for the work of the ministry, being salt and light, well, since a part of our call as Americans is to be an engaged citizenry, to be a part of shaping the future of our country, we got to know how to engage as Christians. Therefore, we need to hear from the pulpits about these issues. Landon, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it. We're going to work another call or two here. Let's go to Louisiana, where J.R. is on the line. J.R., welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. How are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. Look, I was calling. It's funny you're talking about this subject today because I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. And on Sunday, this past Sunday, that's exactly what I ministered on, how ministers or preachers now are scared or afraid to preach the whole truth of the gospel. And I told them for two reasons. I think is two reasons why ministers are afraid to preach about sin, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Two reasons why ministers are afraid to preach all of the gospel, and the two reasons are because of economics and attendance.
Mm-hmm.
They believe or they know that if they preach on, when you're telling somebody that you're showing them that they are wrong, they're either not going to support the ministry or they're not going to attend that ministry. So I believe a lot of preachers not preaching it because they don't want to lose the economic, they don't want to lose the money, and they don't want to lose the attendance of their membership.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think there's also an element of, look, we all want to be received well. I mean, we want to be like, most pastors, not all, but most pastors have the heart of a shepherd, okay? And that's what they are. And they don't want to hurt their people. They don't want to necessarily make them uncomfortable. But part of being a shepherd is equipping and training and protecting them. And that means you've got to speak the truth to them. And some pastors have a hard time understanding that the role of a shepherd is not always just stroking the back of the sheep. It is sometimes getting them in line so they don't get hurt or do something that is dangerous to the herd, or the flock, I should say. J.R., let me ask, how did your congregation respond?
Well, they're used to me. They know I'm going to come straight from what the Bible says, whether they get upset or not. I cannot be afraid of their faces. Some responded and some did not. I expected that. But if you're going to be a pastor or a preacher, the Bible, you're going to have some people that will not like you.
Because well, Jesus Bible, said that.
Be mindful, be aware when all folks speaks, when everyone speaks well of you.
Yeah. Well, Jesus himself said that, look, some people believed me, some people will believe you, and they'll follow you just like they follow me, but not everybody's going to.
Everybody, that's right. So I'm glad you're on this subject, and I listen to you every day. You inspire me, you know, on all levels, so I definitely enjoy you guys' program.
Well, thank you, JR, and thank you so much for preaching the whole counsel of God. And I hope that other pastors will take heart by your encouragement there. Well, folks, sorry we didn't get to all the phone calls, but Lord willing, there's tomorrow, and we'll be back, I hope, Lord willing, and I hope you will as well. Until then, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found, yes, in Ephesians chapter 6, where it says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, even in challenging times like this, guess what you're supposed to do? You got it. Keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.